Hello, mental health champs, and a warm welcome to yet another episode on the show. If you're listening to the sound of my voice for the first time, well, my name is Irike Tomafivo, and I am your host. And this is the Mental Health Podcast. The Mental Health Podcast was created out of the depth of my heart to show up, speak up, and be boldly honest about my beliefs in magic, and also to create even more awareness on mental health and mental health challenges. And any episode reach your heart or leave a spark within, leave a review and share with your friends so the podcast can reach more people and create even more heartfelt sparks. And I believe in synchronicity and not coincidence. So if you find yourself listening to any of this episode, maybe there's a jewel in here especially. And maybe heartbeat by heartbeat, we'll all be able to make the world a more loving and kinder place where human emotions are prioritized even more. So sit back as we dive into today's episode. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another exciting episode of the Mental Health Podcast. And I am thrilled to have you all here today as we talk about an important topic that affects so many of us, a topic that often hidden in the shadows of our achievements, imposter syndrome. But you know, that's not all. Today, I have a very special guest joining us. She is a fellow member of the Forbes BLK community, Sarah. I couldn't be more thrilled because this marks my very first collaboration in the Forbes BLK community, and I'm super honored to have her on board. Now, let's give warm welcome, Sarah. Please, Sarah, could you introduce yourself to my listener, share your name, your titles, and a little bit more about what you do?
So my name is Sierra Connerly Sims, and I am from Phoenix, Arizona. I am a training and development professional. So what that means is that I focus on training techniques, leadership aspects, building out training programs, and also facilitating those training sessions to businesses, to individuals who are looking to get involved in that realm. I am also a professional development coach. So I help businesses, I help individuals get to their potential into growing and scaling their business as it relates to building themselves up professionally into leadership roles or any additional roles that they would like to go past just being a associate. I am a community advocate. I focus highly on foster care initiatives, domestic violence, and also homelessness and community support. I am in several organizations, Sigma Gamma Rho Sorority Incorporated. I am also a part of the National Panhellenic Council of Southern Arizona. I am the co-program chair, and I'm also the scholarship committee chair for that organization. I am the vice president of Royal Legacy Foundation Incorporated, and Royal Legacy focuses on building education for all different groups and not traditional college, so which is something that I'm very passionate about. I also am a senior board member for Just Be Great Academy. That is an organization that focuses on building the youth and their entrepreneurship perspectives and allowing them the tools and resources needed to build successful businesses. I am a community advocate in relates to domestic violence. As a survivor myself, I am really, really big on making sure that, you know, there are the resources available to be able to move past being in a domestic violence situation. So that is really, truly dear to my heart. Also with foster care, I am a mentor, and also I help, you know, any way I can in that advocacy as well. So that's a little bit about myself in about 2 minutes.
Wow, Sarah, that is really amazing and incredible. It was difficult for me to keep up, you know, listening to all the numerous things that you're actively involved in. And I think it's actually a great thing because I love seeing women dominating everything that they do. So it's really wonderful, and I'm super proud of you, and way to go in all your endeavors. So Sierra, back to the reason why we're here, and we're going to be talking about imposter syndrome. So I'd like to hear from your own perspective, from your own point of view, what imposter syndrome means.
Thank you so much. Discussing imposter syndrome, in my own words, I feel that imposter syndrome is self-doubt. And that's basically it. It is doubting that you have the skill set, the mental capacity, the ability to do the things that it is that you are doing. You don't feel that you are adequate enough to be in the spaces you're in, to sitting in the tables that you're sitting at, to be in the rooms that you're in. And it's a facade that we have on ourselves, like a smoking mirror that's in place, if you will. So to me, that is what imposter syndrome is.
Yes, Sierra, I completely agree with you. And I even feel like subconsciously, a lot of people have imposter syndrome without them even knowing. So you made mention of being a professional speaker, a professional motivational speaker. So I would like to know, as a professional motivational speaker, how do you address imposter syndrome in your presentations or in your workshop when you are associating with people?
Absolutely. They really don't know that they have it. But what I do when I'm talking to anyone, I don't even make mention of imposter syndrome. I don't even want to give them the opportunity to think in their mind that that's what they have, that they're not qualified. I don't want them to be able to question their qualifications. I empower when I speak. With that empowerment, I don't want to use terminology or give indication that you are questioning yourself, your skill set, what you have to bring to the table. I want to empower that. For those who already have it, or think that they do have imposter syndrome, I discourage that. And I always make sure that I am speaking in a way that allows for you to see and feel empowered that you are supposed to be in that space. This is where you're supposed to be. Even if it's not the right lane, that's okay. Everything's a learning opportunity. So I encourage that perspective. I empower my words that I use. Don't include imposter syndrome in it. I know it exists. I know a lot of people do feel they have it. But what I do when I try to speak is to have you look deep down inside of yourself and your own skill set and empower you to understand that you do have those things. You are qualified. And that helps to bring that away from anything that they may be feeling about imposter syndrome.
Yes, I completely agree with you. And I think it's actually quite easier and safer not to even project the fact that, oh, this person is undeserving, and give them reasons why they are actually deserving and why they are meant to be in every position and every space they are in right now. So I would like to know, what strategies or technique would you recommend for overcoming imposter syndrome and building self-confidence overall?
Some tips that I like to give when encouraging self-confidence is to build up self-talk. In the mirror, talking to yourself about all the things that you can do, all the skills that you have acquired. Basically, spill out your resume to yourself. Because when you tell your resume to yourself and all of the skill sets you have, then there's no way that you can be impostering in a place that you have not been before, because you have those skill sets. They're a part of your resume. So stating your resume to yourself, always making sure that you continue to remember the evidence that you have to provide within yourself. If you need to write them down, you can write them down and say them to yourself, memorize them, whatever it is you need to do to state your resume. That's going to really build that mental capacity to say, I have these skills. I am in the right space because I know I can do this, because this is why. I have this skill, this skill, this skill, this skill. I've done this, 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 and this. I am qualified to be where I'm at. You have that evidence to back it up. All right. So that is something I always say, and always making sure that you are self-aware. Being self-aware and being authentic are really important to battling that stronghold called imposter syndrome. So being self-aware of your emotional intelligence, being self-aware of who you are, what you have to bring to the table, being self-aware of your skill sets, and all of this has to stem back to repeating that resume in the mirror to you. You are going to be able to develop, right? Also, saying it in the mirror is something that I also like to impact, which is practice, practice, practice. You need to practice self-talking yourself in a positive manner. That is going to make sure that you have it ingrained that these are positive things I am speaking to myself. So no matter if it's an affirmation, you're journaling every day, those are all skills of practice. And you're continuing to actually do it so that way you do have that mental capacity to always remember, you know, repetition of it, that these are positive things. I have these skills. I have these attributes. So everything I'm suggesting is all stemming from practicing positive self-talk and impact.
Completely agree with you. You know, most times when a lot of opportunities come, we be like, am I supposed to be in this place? You know, am I really deserving of this position? Of course, honey, you are. You're deserving to be in that space. You are meant to take up space in the society. So yeah, that's really, really wonderful. Thank you so much, Sarah. So far, I'm enjoying this conversation, honestly. So, moving forward, I would like to know, are there some common triggers or situations that tend to amplify imposter syndrome? And if yes, how can individuals navigate through them?
I think some triggers of imposter syndrome have to do with one, you know, generational, what we grew up on, how we viewed what success looked like, and that achievement. When we look at celebrities and things of that nature, and like, you know, we notice that things come to them naturally, and I'm putting quotations on that because we don't see the inside process that it takes to become successful as a celebrity. Some of them get it really easily. Some of them, it takes them a lot of work. But when we see those things, the perception is that it's a quick hitter, that they got it really quickly. And so we want to try to emulate that, which causes us to have a lack of self-confidence or self-esteem because it's happening for them, but not happening for me. And so focusing on self and your personal development and where it is you want to go and your journey to get there will kind of steer away from having that trigger of imposter syndrome on that spectrum. Also, another trigger of imposter syndrome is being a perfectionist. I am working on this myself. This was one of my huge triggers of imposter syndrome, was wanting to everything to be perfect. So I own an event and wedding planning business, Sis Events and Services. And when I started the business, I had this notion that every little thing needed to have its place. Everything needed to be perfect. I worried if my clients would think I was good enough, because if something was off, we were running behind or anything of that nature. If there was anything that went wrong, I didn't think I was going to get another client. So I always made sure, you know, that everything was perfect. But in a sense, I was stressing myself out even more. My health, my mental capacity was, you know, deteriorating because I was being a perfectionist. Now, I walk into things knowing that everything's not going to be perfect, but it's going to be perfectly done the way it was supposed to be. And changing my mindset to think about perfection in that manner, that it was perfectly imperfect, has helped to transform my thoughts of what it looks like, what a successful event looks like, or what a successful speech looks like, or a successful keynote. So making sure that, you know, you're checking that perfectionist attitude at the door and changing the way you think about being perfect or being successful or your journey will help that. Also, a trigger of imposter syndrome is not asking for help, because a lot of people feel like if you ask for help, you are weak. And that is not the case at all. Everybody needs some help. A lot of people think that they're doing it on their own, but yet they go to classes to get training. Well, if you're going to classes to get training, you're getting help. You may not be getting help from someone you know personally, but you're getting help. And so taking that notion that I can't receive help because then I'll be looked at as weak, or I'm not a started from the bottom, or, you know, people want to have these stories that they did it all on their own. I don't. I'm glad to say that I have 11 million different mentors who have helped me to develop and to grow and to get to where I need to be for certain areas of my life. So removing that notion that you cannot receive help will help to get rid of some of those triggers that you may have with imposter syndrome as well. There's plenty more, but those are some of the key ones that I see constantly that will trigger imposter syndrome. So yeah, those are the ones that I want to make mention of the most.
So Sierra, with all this that you said, I think I can narrow it down to the fact that I might have some sort of imposter syndrome. Well, that's how I have this conversation, and that's how we're learning and unlearning as well. Okay, so speaking about failure, I'd like to know, how does embracing failure and learning from mistakes relate to overcoming imposter syndrome?
Oh my God, I'm right there with you, I promise. I have my own struggles with imposter syndrome. I'm still overcoming things. It's definitely not as bad as it used to be, but there's still a little bit there that I gotta work on, right? We are always a work in progress. So you are not alone, sis. To answer your question though, failure is not overcoming the imposter syndrome piece, right? We all have that fear of failure, but when you are learning to overcome failure and actually overcoming it and understanding the lessons that were a part of that experience, right? I like to consider failures experiences that I needed to go through that just weren't for me in the end, right? So it's still a failure, but I don't like the negative connotation that comes with the word failure. So I say that the failure is an experience that I had to go through, but it just was not for me at that time. So when you can overcome those things and you see the lessons, the beauty in it, what you needed to do in order to get there, whatever you needed to pull out of that particular experience at the time, why you had to go through it and understand it to be able to tell that testimony to somebody else, so that way you can help somebody else go through it, that is where it lies in overcoming the imposter syndrome piece of it. You understand that, yes, I went through it. It did not work out for me. Let me tell you why it didn't work out for me. Let me tell you the lesson that I pulled out of that and share that with someone else, because that could be something that you are helping somebody else with to either make that decision or help them along with that decision to continue with that particular thing or not. And because of that, you have now empowered someone to make a choice on if they're going to pursue a certain thing or not, right? But because you were able to give that empowerment piece, you are now qualified because you went through it, right? You went through that experience. So now you're qualified to share with someone what didn't work in that experience. Or if you had the opportunity to do it again, this is what I would do to see if it would possibly work. You now have the ability to give that information to someone else because you physically went through it. So that is how you overcome experiences that didn't work out in your favor, or it did work out in your favor, you just needed to go through it and it just wasn't for you. But that is how you overcome that, by being able to share that testimony and helping someone else through that same experience to make a better choice. in overcoming that with imposter syndrome.
All right, Sarah, thank you so much. So I'd like to know, how does emotional intelligence relate to imposter syndrome? I mean, are there any close relations between both of them?
So with emotional intelligence, I believe there is a relation there when it comes to that and imposter syndrome. If you are not emotionally aware, or you don't have emotional intelligence of self, then that means that if your notions or feeling of imposter syndrome come about, then in theory, you're not going to be able to combat that. So what I mean by that is, if you don't understand, if you don't know your own self when it comes to your emotional intelligence, you're not going to be able to control or know yourself when it comes to battling that imposter syndrome thought and feeling that comes about when you get into that situation. When you are self-aware, meaning you have emotional intelligence, then you are able to handle that. You are able to battle in your mind with the tools that you have, or I call it your armor, right? Because I'm thinking about the whole armor of God. You're going to have that armor available to you and the tools that work for you to be able to battle imposter syndrome. So, and those tools may be the same. The tools you have that have allowed for you to gain and understand your emotional intelligence, those can be the same tools that you use to combat your imposter syndrome thoughts or feelings. Journaling, meditation, affirmation, even there's assessments out there, things to that nature. You can utilize all of those tools, having evidence of things that you have done or seen, that all plays into being able to have your emotions in check in a professional space. Same thing with imposter syndrome.
Thank you, Sarah. This has been amazing. I had fun, and I'm super glad we got to come together to have this episode. So any final words as we, you know, round up the conversation tonight?
It has been an absolute pleasure to be a part of this episode. Thank you so much for having me, for allowing me to share my opinions, my thoughts, my feelings. It has been great, and I just appreciate the opportunity. If anyone wants to get in touch with me, please feel free to reach out, 480-277-6376, sierra.sims321@gmail.com. I look forward to being with everyone. One final thing I want to say about imposter syndrome is that you have the power to overcome it. It is not who you are, and you are perfectly made. You have what you need to be able to succeed. You just have to believe in yourself that you can do it. I'm here to support you. We're all here to support you, and that is not who you are. That is what I want to leave everyone with. Thank you again so much, and I look forward to working with you again in the future.
And there you have it, folks. I hope today's episode has shed more light on imposter syndrome. I mean, it's a topic that affects more of us than we might actually realize, and it's very crucial for us to acknowledge and also address it. I want to take a moment to extend my heartfelt thanks to our incredible guest Sarah for sharing her insights and experiences with us. I mean, Sarah, your wisdom has been invaluable, and we are so grateful to have you on the show. And to everybody listening to the sound of my voice, thank you for tuning in and joining me on this journey of self-discovery, personal growth and mental health awareness. Remember, you are not alone in this, and we all have our moments of self-doubt, but I believe that we can overcome them. Keep believing in yourself and your abilities. Don't forget to subscribe, rate, and share this podcast with your friends and your family. Your support means the world to me. Till next time, stay inspired, stay empowered, and keep chasing your dreams. My name is Irike Tumafavor, and I am signing off. Bye.